A few years ago now, when my wife was pregnant with our first daughter, she was browsing Craigslist when she came across some maternity clothes for a cheap price. She sent an email to the seller, who went by the name of Jenny, and they agreed to meet at Jenny's place to do the exchange. We were supposed to go and pick up the clothes together, but on the day of the deal, my wife was suffering with some extreme morning sickness. She sent me out to pick up the clothes, and me, not being a complete idiot, asked my pal, Big Bernie, to come along with me. He's 6'4", hence the nickname. I wasn't expecting trouble, but two safer than one, and you can never be too careful. Bernie agrees, and even offers to drive us down in his truck, on the condition that I pay for the gas and a six-pack of beer. We hit the road at around midday, and it should only be a 30-minute drive. We joke around, sing along to the radio, and discuss future plans. A few minutes from the end of the journey, I notice that the closer we're getting to our destination, the further we're getting from civilization. The turning to the place is coming up on the left, and it's an old run-down farmhouse in essentially the middle of nowhere. Nothing but dirt and brush in either direction for at least half a mile. And even then, the closest buildings are other run-down farmhouses too. Some people would call it horribly isolated, and others would call it paradise. At that moment, we thought it was ominous. As we pull into what I hasten to call a driveway, we both question whether this is really the right house. Bernie double-checks on the map to confirm. Sure enough, this is the woman's house. We're not too worried though, since it's still daylight and there are two of us. We exit the vehicle. We're greeted by some heavy-set dude who was waiting on the porch, and he introduces himself as the man of the house. Immediately, I can tell there's something bothering him. He asks me where my wife is, and I tell him that she couldn't make it. He motions for us to come inside, saying that his wife has the clothes ready for us to pick up. My warning signals are starting to blink as we approach the house. This doesn't seem like the sort of place that even has a phone, let alone internet connection to post a Craigslist ad. As we step inside, there's a room off the hallway with some commotion going on inside. Standing in a room completely void of any furniture are about seven other burly men, just standing around in a sort of semicircle. Now, this is creepy as all hell. What the fuck would all these greasy guys be doing with a bunch of clothes for a pregnant woman? They all turn to look at us as we poke our heads in, all with the same expression on their face. Disappointment. They weren't hillbillies exactly, but they were of a similar breed. Put it this way, you could tell just by looking at them that they were trouble. Every fiber of my being is screaming that we need to get the fuck out of there right away. But social etiquette is a hell of a powerful thing. So when the main guy said to follow him into the kitchen for the clothes, we did. He led us into a decrepit kitchen. Again, completely empty, other than a few broken-down appliances. You got the money? I reply with a yes, but I'm hesitant to get my wallet out in front of this guy. He picks up some dirty rag and extends it out to me, like this is the thing I'm supposed to be buying. No, that's not what we came here for. He stares at me, with some creepy, excited-looking smile on his face. And it becomes obvious that there were never any clothes for sale in the first place. Unsure of how to respond, Bernie takes control and says, "Yeah, hold on, we'll go and get the money." An obvious lie, but good enough that this guy doesn't question us. Instead, he just stands there, with that same damn expression plastered across his ugly face. As we exit the farmhouse, we can see that all of the men who were in the other room are now leaning against Bernie's truck. Some of them are even rummaging through the things he keeps on the back. Now we know for sure that these guys aren't gonna let us go without a fight. Fuck. We're slowly walking back towards the truck, and I'm hoping to God that Bernie's got a plan. He's thinking the same thing I am, And without words, we give each other that universal look of shit. My memory of all of this comes back to me in slow motion. Bernie whispers for me to stay cool and approaches the guys who are rummaging through the truck. We're outnumbered and, for all we know, outgunned. So, rather than confront these hillbilly wannabe bastards, Bernie instead tells them about the power tools on the back seat. They start crowding around and digging about back there, proving just the distraction we needed. We both fucking dart into the nearby tree line. Forget the van, forget the tools. We just have to get the hell out of there and away from these creeps. We keep going until we think they're a good distance behind us, and then we lay low for a while, desperately searching for cell phone signal. After a while in the woods, we hear people approaching, and we take cover in the thicket. Bernie arms himself with a rock from the ground, and I follow suit. We're both praying that this isn't the cast of Deliverance descending upon us, but rather some decent folk who just so happen to be out for a walk or something. But as we hear their screeching and hollering, that illusion is shattered. We can't tell how many of them have chased us out this far, but it's clearly them. And what's worse, what really made my blood curdle with unprecedented fear, was the sound of something else that got louder as they got closer. The sound of Bernie's fucking DeWalt power drill, buzzing. One of those battery-powered ones. Now my imagination's kicked into overdrive with what might happen if they catch us, and all we've got to fight them off with is a couple of rocks. We remain silent long after these guys pass us by, just to make sure they were long gone. Eventually, we found a signal and called the police, who take their sweet-ass time to get to the location. When they finally do arrive, the place was empty. All of their vehicles were gone, as were all of Bernie's tools inside of the van, which had taken a beating as well. It still ran, though, so we were able to get back home. Thankfully, Bernie kept his hands on the keys. Turns out that building really was abandoned, and not one of those guys lived there. We never heard anything else about it from the cops. What I think is really messed up is that these guys lured us out there with the promise of maternity clothes, meaning that they intentionally wanted their victims to be a couple of prospective parents. I'm thankful every day that my wife didn't come with me. Her pregnant self wouldn't have been able to get away quick enough, and we would have been at the mercy of those guys. There's no way I could have fought them off. Hell, I couldn't even with Big Bernie on my side. My daughter was born shortly after this incident, healthy and beautiful. And thankfully, she won't have to grow up without her father. The sound of power drills still brings back those memories.
Because of my parents' constant arguments, my parents decided to go their separate ways prior to this, so we ended up living with my mom. I had a younger brother and an older sister. We live in a neighborhood where it's not necessary to lock your front gate, nor close your front doors, since everyone pretty much knows everyone. It was still in the early evening, at about 6 p.m. Mom usually comes home by 8. Now, it's important to note that we didn't lock the front gate, although it was closed, and our front door was wide open. We do this all the time because it's hot and we want the breeze to come in. We don't worry about it much because we have a screen door, which is unlocked too. My brother and I were watching TV, when suddenly we heard our gate slam open. It was made of metal with this huge chain dangling on it. I immediately jumped out of the couch and stood in front of the screen door to see who came in and slammed the gate that loud. It takes about 8 to 10 steps to get to our front door from the gate, and I swear on that split second where I jumped from the couch toward the screen door, the man was already in front of me, with only the screen door between us. He looked to be about 30 or 40 years old, only wearing a white and very dirty tank top. It was ripped in some areas, and it looked like he had rolled around in the mud or something. He had a beard and was carrying something bloody. His hand was bloody too, and he had a crazy look in his eyes, He was also panting, like he had to run all the way to get to my house. I was terrified, and my hand was already on the screen door's handle. I was holding it closed. I knew right then and there that he was not supposed to be at our home at all. I didn't want him to see me lock the door since it might provoke him, so I didn't say anything. I just froze right in front of him. He says, "I'm a friend of your dad. He ordered this and wanted me to bring it over." He lifted the bloody cellophane so I can see it from eye level. There was meat inside. I have no idea what kind, except that it smells so bad. "It's just 120 pesos. 2 kilos, he added. And that's about 236 if converted. I can feel my hands shaking at this point. I didn't believe a single thing that he said. So I told him, "No, we're okay. My dad changed his mind and we don't want to buy it. Thank you." I locked the door and I still held it close since it's just a barrel bolt lock. I knew that if he were even just to try to jiggle the handle, the lock would move and it would be open in a jiffy. He didn't say anything more and just kind of looked to the side where our front gate and the sidewalk is, and then he looked back at me. I saw him put the cellophane down on the floor and calmly walk back to our gate, and then he ran away as fast as he could. As soon as he was gone, our neighbor, he's just a few years older than me, approached me and asked us who that was. I told him that we had no idea. We looked at the meat, and it was soaked with blood, dark blood, and we were both terrified since it's already dark, and we both just wanted to be in the safety of our own homes. He offered to throw the meat away from me, and I ended up cleaning the blood from our front step. I called my mom and told her what happened, and she told us to immediately lock the gate and close both doors until she got home. We told our dad about it too, and he told us that he would never order something from someone as crazy looking like that. The whole neighborhood knew about it, and from then on we always made sure our gates and homes were locked. We asked around, and they said it was actually just a man who was probably high on cocaine or turned crazy, and was seen a few times in the area. And they said he had a family, and they abandoned him for having an unstable mind, and he has been wandering around ever since. Up until now, I still don't know what kind of meat that was, or where he got it from. My sister and the neighbor told me it was probably a stray dog or something, but they probably just told me that to reassure me that I didn't see human meat. Not like it made me feel any better that it was a random animal, since it took me a long time to get over that incident. I didn't ask my mom about it again, and my mom told me not to worry about it, and that she'll make sure it'll never happen again. I've tried blocking it out of my mind ever since, but reading terrifying stories here made me remember how terrifying it is to meet unstable people like this.